WUST, Washington.
From the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, this is the Taxi Link.
This French multinational corporation comes in with their millions of dollars. They've set up shop, and they're basically telling these cabbies that, you know, you're not welcome here. We have complete control over this.
Prince George's County taxi drivers gathered at National Harbor this week to call on the Gaylord Hotel to have greater respect for cabs. We'll hear from Mateo Shekol of the AFL-CIO and taxi leader Fisaha Tesfai.
Well, they're showing you that they don't want taxi driver to work in that property or in that area.
Then we turn to D.C., where criminal charges against two drivers have been dropped, yet the Taxi Commission's suspension of their licenses remains in effect and their reputations tarnished. We'll hear from Taxi Chair Ron Linton.
You were quoted saying the behavior of these drivers isn't tolerable, and you mentioned that you apologized for not saying alleged because it was stated as fact, but I just wanted to get your response.
Well, you're correct. Any charge before disposed of through the judiciary system is an alleged charge, and it should have been written as an alleged charge.
This is the Taxi Link, brought to you by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with thefightback.org. More than 30 Prince George's County taxi drivers gathered Thursday at National Harbor, the luxury resort and mini city on the Potomac River. Drivers hand delivered a letter calling on Gaylord National, the largest of National Harbor's six hotels, to provide a taxi stand that's visible to guests. Presently, Veolia, the French transportation giant, is allowed to park its black sedans directly outside the Gaylord, but taxis must wait in a parking garage across the street, hidden from hotel guests. After drivers delivered their letter to Gaylord officials, a caravan of taxis headed to the Prince George's County Council in Upper Marlboro. As we drove in his cab, I asked Fisaha Tesfai to describe the situation drivers are facing at National Harbor.
Simply what they're doing is deflecting their responsibility to somebody else, because they're showing you that they don't want taxi driver to work in that property or in that area. You know, they're making a short story too long, and they're twisting things around. They should simply solve this problem by allowing the drivers on their property to work equally, you know, to compete the business and to provide job opportunity for other drivers.
Later in the program, we'll play my full interview with Fisaha Tesfai as he drove his taxi from National Harbor to the Prince George's County Council. We'll also hear from one of the passengers in the cab, Mateo Shekol, a 22-year-old researcher with the AFL-CIO and the National Taxi Workers Alliance.
Right now, as it stands, the politicians of the city doesn't see the largely Ethiopian, Eritrean, East African immigrants, immigrants in general in this area. They don't think there's anything to fear from them. They don't think there's anything they should do. And that's largely because, as it stands, we're not organized.
Later in the program, we'll play my full extended interview with Mateo Shekol. In D.C., charges have been dropped against two drivers who had their licenses suspended and reputations tarnished by the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission before their innocence could be determined. This week, the D.C. Superior Court threw out the simple assault charges against Sharanjit Singh and Ephraim Eshetaram. The charges stem from an altercation with a third individual at a gas station on May 10th. Before the drivers had a chance to prove their innocence, the Taxi Commission denounced them in a May 17th press release in which Chairman Ron Linton said of Singh and Eshetaram, the behavior of these drivers is intolerable. Friday, in his office, I asked Chairman Linton if he apologized for his statement.
You were quoted saying the behavior of these drivers is intolerable, and you mentioned that you apologized for not saying alleged because it was stated as fact, but I just wanted to get your response.
Well, you're correct. Charge before disposed of through the judiciary system is an alleged charge, and it should have been written as an alleged charge.
Later in the program, we'll play more of my interview with Chairman Linton, and we'll hear from Neville Waters, public affairs specialist for the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission. We'll also be joined in studio by the Taxi Link's Will Martin, who attended Sharanjit Singh's hearing Thursday before the D.C. Office of Administrative Hearings. In other D.C. taxi news, the district is being sued for up to $18.5 million by Verifone, the payment processing giant, which successfully bid on last year's contract to install smart meters in all DC cabs. But the city's $35 million contract with Verifone was overturned by the DC Contract Appeals Board, which said the procurement process had, quote, numerous unexplained and glaring errors, inconsistencies, and oversights. As a result of the city's termination of the contract, Verifone says it incurred losses, and the California-based company is now suing the district for between $11.5 and up to $18.5 million. Meanwhile, in Alexandria, City Council voted Tuesday to mandate credit card acceptance in all Alexandria cabs. The mandate passed despite objections from drivers who say that as independent contractors who own their own vehicles, they should be permitted to choose their own credit card payment system and not be forced to accept the fleet owner's selection as the legislation calls for. Despite drivers' concerns, Mayor Bill Ewell described the mandate as a win for all parties.
And this is, again, as a result of the public hearing and the work session council's had on this. This has been refined and refined and refined to the extent I believe it's now can be characterized as a win-win for all parties, win-win-win for the riders, for the customers, for the companies, and for the independent contractor drivers. So I think that's really what we're after.
That was Alexandria Mayor Bill Ewell. The D.C. Taxi Cab Commission held a hearing this week on the one-color scheme for all D.C. cabs. Only three commissioners, Paul Cohen, Cyril Crocker, and Chairman Linton, were in attendance. After headlines, we'll play testimony from the hearing. And the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission announced Friday that installation of the new standardized D.C. Taxi Cab dome light is set to begin today. The dome lights, which are manufactured by Bass and Treble and Pro Light, are required to be installed in all D.C. taxis by August 31st, according to a commission press release. This is the Taxi Link, brought to you by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. You can catch the Taxi Link each Saturday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on WUST 1120 a.m. And you can find all the past shows archived online at thefightback.org. I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back, and I'm joined by my co-host Tony Norman, chairman of DC Advisor Neighborhood Commission 1B, which includes parts of U Street, 9th Street, and Georgia Avenue. Welcome, Tony Norman.
Glad to be here.
In just a bit, we're going to be discussing an issue we covered on last week's show, and that's this issue of the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission suspending drivers before they're able to prove their innocence. But I wanted to begin with what's going on at National Harbor, and we've covered this over the last couple of weeks here on the Taxi Link, and folks can go to thefightback.org to hear those shows. Tony Norman, we took a trip out there Thursday with Fissaha Tesfaye and Emmanuel Gabriel, two of the taxi leaders there, and it's quite striking to take a tour of National Harbor, which is situated just over the district line in Prince George's County. It's this $2 billion luxury resort and kind of mini city on the Potomac River. It's questionable whether it could have even been built but for the hundreds of millions of Prince George's County and Maryland tax dollars that went into constructing the needed infrastructure and roads. And it's actually going to be expanding quite a lot in the years ahead, with a major outlet mall scheduled for completion in less than a year and an MGM casino scheduled to come online in 2016. Now, drivers are concerned that, despite the fact that they've served guests at National Harbor loyally for the last 5 years, they're being punished to make way for Veolia, the French transportation giant. And, Tony, we visited National Harbor. We saw at six hotels, including the largest of them, Gaylord National. And we visited with taxi drivers on the third floor of the parking garage across the street from the Gaylord, where drivers are forced to wait out of sight of hotel guests. Meanwhile, Veolia's black sedans line up in front of the hotel. But I wanted to begin with this issue and your thoughts on our tour of National Harbor and the struggle that drivers are going on there.
Well, first of all, it's a very disturbing trend that's happening out there with National Harbor as it relates to taxi cab drivers. Clearly, the owner of the hotel, as well as the owner of whoever the developer are of the National Harbor.
Peterson Company.
The Peterson Company and the garage that the taxi cab drivers park in, all working in together to prohibit taxi cab drivers from actually being there and servicing that area. They can't drive around. They can't really pick up. They have to go and park. They want them out of sight and out of mind. And they have now they're doubling the cost to be in the parking garage, which they can't even be seen out of the parking garage. So there is a concerted effort to bar cab drivers in favor of another company, the black car company, to be there on that site. And I think this is something that all taxi cab drivers need to be concerned about. They definitely need to raise this to the elected officials out there in Maryland and the PG County and those that are running for office. This is something they need to put the spotlight on.
And we'll talk more about this issue as we hear from Mateos and from we also are going to be speaking with we'll hear an interview that I did with Fissa Tesfaye. He drove from National Harbor to the Prince George's County Council. That was on Thursday. That followed up a Tuesday meeting that Mateos, Fissa, and Emmanuel, both Fissa and Emmanuel joined us on the program last week, and you can find that show at thefightback.org. And they met with, it turns out they met with not only management at National Harbor, but also Veolia's. They had a couple people there as well. And what was stated at that meeting was that by Friday they would let them know, they get back to them about their main request was drivers want a taxi stand that hotel guests can see. And they did get back to, I spoke with Fissa yesterday, and he said, yeah, they got back to us and said they're just going to move forward and do what they wanted anyway, which is no taxi stand for drivers. So the hotel did respond, although interestingly and rightfully, Fissa Tesfaye said, can you send something in writing to me so that all drivers can have firsthand knowledge of what was said? And according to Fissa, they refused to provide a written statement that they are not going to allow for taxis to park outside the hotel while they allow for Veolia to park all its sedans out there.
I mean, that's clearly a statement of their intentions and their respect for the taxicab drivers, which they obviously have done. Once again, this is something that need the spotlight of the media, the spotlight of everyone to see what's going on there. This is clearly a business that have decided they don't want taxicab drivers. And there's an issue. I think there's some legal issues there that the drivers need to look at. But mainly they need to get their elected officials involved with this. This is outright discrimination, outright tying arrangement with various companies to squeeze out taxicab drivers in favor of one company. This is monopolistic behavior. So I think a number of civil rights groups, not just taxicab drivers, would be concerned about this, what's happening out there in the National Harbor.
Following up on their Tuesday meeting with Gaylord and Veolia officials, more than 30 drivers gathered at National Harbor, and a delegation of around 10 drivers entered the Gaylord and submitted a letter. The letter called on Gaylord to provide a taxi stand that's visible to hotel guests, as well as to provide accurate information about taxi fares. After delivering the letter to Gaylord officials, a caravan of taxis headed to the Prince George's County Council in Upper Marlboro. As we drove in his cab, I asked Fissa Tesfaye to discuss the letter he and other drivers delivered to Gaylord and why he was heading to the county council.
Right now what's happening is we just give them a thank you letters, and we are expecting the result on Friday. And like they tell us on the Tuesday meeting, they tell us to take our problem to the county elected official. So after we give them this letter, we are going to Upper Marlboro County Executive Office to give the letters that has a fact sheet and the letters that explain what's going on in National Harbor.
Now, the meeting with Gaylord National was a long time in the making. What specifically were the issues that you requested? What specifically is that you requested of Gaylord National? What was it that a taxi stand be out in front, as well as accurate information be presented about how much taxis actually cost? Talk about these issues.
Yeah, these are the two issues that we asked them. Because these are the main concern our drivers. Because the reason we don't have a taxi stand, they are simply telling for the customer there is no cab outside, and you got the customer, they have to use their own transportation system or service. Because of that, we are our job being hurting. We are also our family also hurting because of this, and we are telling them to straight these things and to make opening for cab driver on their property too, and also they need to stop telling for customer wrong information, even on their website and their doorman too.
So now, while taxis don't have a stand outside the hotel, the black sedans, those with Veolia, this French transportation giant, they are just lined up outside the hotel.
That's right. Even even by accident, if you pull a cab driver pull to their front door, they tell you they don't want you on their property. By just they taking a cover because of their property, and they try to kick us out immediately when we go in there. But those people, the driver, the limo driver and the Viola company, they get in front line, even though the stand says taxi line and limos in line, they don't allow us to go on that line too. Just simply giving the job, all the job they have to those company.
As we drive from National Harbor on the way to the Prince George's County Council, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about the meeting on Tuesday. And not only were Gaylord National Management present, but Veolia had a couple representatives there as well?
Yeah, that's right. They have two representatives, but they don't say nothing on our meeting because we don't want them to speak with us. Our problem is the hotel. Those are the people who brought them, and we were discussing about our issue. But on the Tuesday meeting, the hotel managers, general managers, they said, the problem you guys have with the county, and you guys go and ask your county elected official to give you a taxi stand, or even if they have to put a law enforcement, ask them to do that also. And that's what they tell us on the meeting. But we believe those people, they have a power to give us enough space for a cab driver to work, at least to make it fair, everybody to be treated equal. We are also workers. And we ask them that, but they say, this is not our problem. There's nothing we can do for you guys. But if you need anything, go and ask. You are the one who paying for your face ID for the county. And everything what you pay is for the county. The county should do something for you guys. That's what they tell us on the meeting.
So I'm confused. Here you have Gaylord National, which has a lot of available spots. They're just being taken up by black sedans, by Veolia. And you're in a meeting with them, and they're saying to you, they have no control over their own property, which they have plenty of black cars out in front, and no ability to put taxi cab stand out there. They direct you to the county council.
Yeah, that's right. You know, simply what they're doing is deflecting their responsibility to somebody else, because it's showing you that they don't want taxi driver to work in that property or in that area. You know, they're making short story too long, and they're twisting things around. They should simply solve this problem by allowing the drivers on their property to work equally, you know, to compete the business, and to provide job opportunity for us drivers too.
What's your message for members of the Prince George's County Council and the County Executive Rashern Baker? What do you hope to tell him as we head that way?
My message is the county elected official and the executive, I want them to see these things serious. And it's not only for a group of people, this issue. It's the whole county, our Prince George County workers. Because anybody can come and work this open for every drivers. There is over a thousand drivers in our county. So they have to able to work anywhere they want, wherever they choose to work. And we given a good quality service for our community. And we believe everybody to respect our job. And we respect our community too. We are serving them. We are here every day serving our county. So the county elected official, they need to see these things seriously and give us a solution about this.
That was Fisaha Tesfai, a taxi leader at National Harbor. We spoke as he drove to the Prince George's County Council directly after he and other drivers delivered a letter to Gaylord National, which calls on the hotel to provide a taxi stand that's visible to hotel guests. Tesfai was among the three driver representatives at Tuesday's meeting with Gaylord and Veolia officials. He was joined by fellow driver Emmanuel Gabriel and Mateo Chacol of the AFL-CIO and National Taxi Workers Alliance, who we'll be hearing from shortly. At that meeting, Gaylord National officials said they'd have a response about the taxi stand by Friday, and as I mentioned, I spoke with Tesfai yesterday. He said he got the response. The hotel is moving forward just as it planned, and there will be no taxi stand. So, Tony Norman, your response?
Yes, it's like I said, this is a very serious matter in terms of these are clearly a private business trying to squeeze out another business in favor of another business, which is monopolistic tendencies. I'm sure they have a tying arrangement, an agreement with this black cab company, Viola, or
Veolia.
And they are just trying to get more business for this particular company at the expense of cab drivers. This is clearly antitrust activities that are blatantly illegal, and someone need to follow up on it. I think the taxi cab drivers, they need to get the media involved with this. This is clearly a discrimination of the taxi cab drivers to run them out of that whole development area.
Can you talk about that development area? It's massive. I mean, it's not just the harbor. It's the mall that's coming on is a good bit away up the hill, and you have this casino coming on. This is a lot of land. It's much larger than anything I had ever imagined. I had not visited until I heard about the driver's struggle and went and visited there. But it's already a $2 billion project, and now you have it about to expand much more massive. I was wondering, what are your thoughts about it? I mean, it's a scope and scale that I hadn't realized. And it's private in one sense, but in another sense, it would not happen, I don't think, but for a major, major public investment to get those roads and the other infrastructure, and probably a lot of other subsidies I haven't yet learned about as well. But yet it's private. It's just an interesting, massive scene that's there, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are on it.
It's not just a development property. Basically, what they're building out there is another city. It's a small town. When you look at the townhouses, the number of people out there, the convention center, the proposed development, the restaurants, the stores, the mall, the casino, they're basically building another city in Maryland. Anybody can see that when you go out there. And those roads and infrastructure was paid for by the county and the taxpayers of the state of Maryland. So because it's on behalf of the state of Maryland, these private developers can't simply build their own city and decide who can come in and who cannot come in there, particularly as relate to services. Taxi cab drivers are public service to the public, and they are trying to give all of that business in terms of carrying visitors and guests at the hotel to one limousine service or one private company, and they're trying to squeeze out taxicab drivers by enforcing them. They can't drive around and pick up anyone. They got to put them in a parking garage, which they're not welcome or wanted, and I'll overcharge them to even be in the parking garage. So this is clearly blatant activity that I think also illegal, because basically they're benefiting another business that has, I'm sure, have an agreement with the development project as well as the hotel to use the limousine services and not the taxicab service. And clearly the customers want, from what I hear from the taxicab drivers, the customers also want a taxicab to take them various places. But they're using it as an excuse, saying cabs are dirty or what have you. But still, they cannot just make these arbitrary, discriminatory practices, particularly when they may have a financial interest in barring the taxicab drivers and keeping another company, the black cars. So that's something that clearly needs to be investigated in. It clearly need the public eye on it, and we clearly need to get the elected officials involved with this.
I'm not sure whether National Harbor at large has a contract with Veolia. We reached out to them, but I've not gotten a statement. We did get a statement from Gaylord National, and they do have a contract that they're expanding with Veolia, not only for these black sedans, but starting in June, so this month, they're having a hybrid cars that are going to be more affordable and really compete with taxis. And so they are expanding. The Gaylord National, we don't know about National Harbor, is expanding its contract with Veolia this month.
Well, in essence, once again, those are still questionable arrangements when you're benefiting one business and there may be a financial interest to the hotel and squeezing out another business carrier, the taxicab drivers. That in and of itself needs to be researched and investigated.
After I interviewed Fissa Tesfai as he was driving his cab from National Harbor to the Prince George's County Council, I then spoke with the passenger in the back seat, Mateos Chacol. Mateos is a 22-year-old researcher for the AFL-CIO and the National Taxi Workers Alliance. His father is a part-time DC cab driver, or weekend warrior, as he described it. We now turn to my extended conversation with Mateos, the talented young Ethiopian-American organizer and researcher for the AFL-CIO and the National Taxi Workers Alliance. I began by asking Mateos about the meeting with Gaylord and Veolia officials that he attended, along with Fissa Tesfai and Emmanuel Gabriel.
When the hotel first approached Fissaha and Emmanuel, the two leaders here in the National Harbor, the PG taxi drivers, the hotel said, "You're only allowed to bring two drivers," right? That's all they said. And so we get in there, and I went in there actually as not a driver, but as an interpreter. I was going to be in there to help out. The irony of it is, you know, they never told us that they're going to bring a Veolia. They never told us they were going to have five people in there from the hotel. And so, as you can understand, in that meeting, you have two drivers and myself, and you have, you know, these big suits in there. Basically, I think, you know, for the majority of the time, they're just telling us how dirty, you know, how unclean, how unprofessional PG taxi drivers are, or the PG taxis are. And we sat there just listening. You know, we just sat there listening. And all we did was, you know, all we asked of the hotel was this: give us a fair and equal opportunity to operate. We have families, right? We have people to help out, and you know, we're trying to make a living. And so we told them, you know, I helped out there, but really I think it was impressive that both Emmanuel and Fissa was saying was, give us a taxi stand. That was the first thing. Because I think unless there's a visible taxi stand where customers can see and choose a taxi, then they might as well be invisible. And at this point, taxis are invisible to customers. And so, you know, they asked the hotel to provide a taxi stand. And the second was to make sure that they're reporting accurate information on their website. We told them that, you know, we showed them, you know, as it stands right now, you're giving customers false information. And we really don't appreciate that. And so as for the two demands, they said, okay, we'll do the, you know, we'll take down the information on the website. We'll make sure to report accurate information by tomorrow. So they did that. As for the taxi stand, they said, well, look, we'll give us until Friday. Give us until the end of the week, and we'll tell you our decision on that. But they've been doing this for 4 years, you have to understand. Drivers have been waiting here for 4 years for a taxi stand, for a chance to be to operate on that property. And so what we're doing today is just to say that, you know, we've waited long enough. We're giving you until 10 a.m. tomorrow. And we really hope that, you go through with your promise to tell us your answer. And so now we're going to the county council and telling our story, allowing the drivers to tell their story.
You mentioned that at the meeting, Gaylord National, they were saying how drivers, some of their vehicles weren't clean. And I wanted to read a quote from a statement that Gaylord National provided to us, to the Taxi Link. And it reads in part, since opening 5 years ago, our guests have expressed their desires for high-quality personal transportation service with clean vehicles, courteous, and knowledgeable drivers. End quote. I wanted you to follow up on this constant, and also talk about what Veolia is doing. They're not only having a lot of black sedans out in front, but now they're introducing a whole new line of vehicles which are more affordable and more competitive with taxi cabs. They're going to be clean, I guess, hybrid vehicles. But talk about these quotes and as well as what Veolia and Gaylord National are moving towards.
I mean, I think my first reaction is, you know, holy hell, this is racist, right? This is extremely a nasty thing to say, you know, to tell these drivers who work here day and night, you know, who, you know, first of all, I think we have to step back, right? These drivers aren't just operating willy-nilly. They have to be, you know, approved and certified by the county, right? The county has measures to make sure that these taxi cabs are not older than 10 years old. They're inspections. Taxi drivers have to keep their taxis clean. And so for the hotel to go out and say that, you know, these drivers, these cabs are not clean, they're not unprofessional, I mean, the only thing you can say is, you know, these largely, you know, immigrant workers, I think they're doing everything right. But to the hotel, it's not enough. So these PG County taxi cabs are enough for the residents, the county residents, but they're not good enough for Gaylord's fancy customers. And then in terms of Veolia, I think there's a danger there. Right, that's one thing we have to, I think, the drivers understand. The danger is, you know, this is just a start, right? There's this weird, you know, new service that they're bringing forth. It's really, I think, you ask any driver, a taxi driver, they'll say it's a taxi, right? Because you know, the prices are very low. They're not, you know, big fancy second, you know, a different class of cars. They're the same vehicles sometimes that, you know, PG County taxi drivers drive, right? These hybrids. And so for a customer going out, you know, and requesting for a taxi, someone sends them these new express, they call them express transport vehicles, they're not going to know the difference. And so essentially, you know, I think slowly but surely, the plan of Gaylord and of Veolia especially is to push out these taxi drivers and monopolize the whole national harbor. And they will be the only ones providing these kind of services. And so they're right. Drivers are right to organize. Drivers are right to come together and say, we're going to protect our jobs. And I think one thing I really do have to say, and I've been inspired, I think, just coming out here, you know, as I'm sure most of your listeners know, being a cab driver is hard. You have to make a certain amount every week, right? Especially in PG, where, you know, they're leasing out and they have to pay, you know, $200-$300 a week. If they're not making their fares, and if they're not, you know, if they're not, if you don't have enough business to pay for gas and pay for the rent, you know, it's going to be really hard for them that week. But these, you know, these drivers here have taken a great leap of faith and have said, we're going to do this. We care about our jobs. We're going to, you know, come every day and work really hard to, you know, to provide and to set a standard. And I think, I hope, you know, drivers throughout the whole area see this and are inspired and are able to say, you know, if only we're organized, if only we're willing to do the hard work of going out there and talking to our fellow drivers, we can accomplish great things. And you know, I just want to say I'm inspired by the work that they're doing here.
Dallas, can you talk a little bit about National Harbor? What is it? I recently went there for the first time as a result of what was the drivers expressing concern that they were being pushed out. And it's kind of this mini city luxury resort convention center on the Potomac River, just over the D.C. line in Prince George's County. And it's private in one sense, but another sense it would not have been built but for a massive amount of public investment in the roads and elsewhere. So just talk a bit about, because it seems like that's, they it's, on the one hand, they're making, and this is a private entity, but on the other hand, they went to the public and received an awful lot of public investment, and with that maybe comes some public responsibility. But talk about National Harbor.
That's right, and I think it's interesting, right, when you think about it. Anywhere you go, whether PG, DC, anywhere you go, right, with most hotels, you'll see taxis, you'll see, you know, limos. But the governing body that regulates these kind of activities is still the city or still the county. And PG, it's this weird sense that's I think, developing here, where Veolia seems to be coming up with the plans. Veolia seems to be, you know, kind of deciding what it wants to do. And it's unfortunate because, you know, hundreds of thousands of PG County taxpayers put in millions and millions and millions of dollars to build this place, right? And they're hoping, you know, this will attract good local jobs. Will provide great opportunities, not only for those that work at the hotel, but for cab drivers, right? That was the idea. The idea was that. But essentially, no, I think it seems like this French multinational corporation comes in with their millions of dollars. They've set up shop, and they're basically telling these cabbies that, you know, you're not welcome here. We have complete control over this. And it's weird, and I think it's not only weird, it's dangerous, and I think drivers are right to be concerned. If this is happening at Gaylord, it's going to happen when the casino is being built. You know, it's going to happen when a shopping mall is being built. It's going to happen when a museum is going to be built. And so, you know, they're looking at it from the long-term perspective. And I think, and it's right what they're doing right now, is organizing, mobilizing, and, you know, fighting for their right to operate. Because the customers at Gaylord are public people. And they deserve to have a public taxi. But right now, that chance is blurred. I think I would even go as far as to say that chance is non-existent. Because as it stands, these taxi drivers are hidden in a parking garage, while these black cars, these Veolia transportation, are in the front. And so they're depriving these public customers of the option of, you know, using a taxi.
Mateos, can you talk about your work at the AFL-CIO and the National Taxi Workers Alliance?
Sure. I think, you know, I'm fairly new to this, and I have to say that. And so, you know, to me, it's been an amazing experience so far, and I'm learning so much. And I think, but, you know, the taxi industry in itself is changing rapidly, not just in D.C., but throughout the whole country. And so now I've been working with the National Taxi Workers Alliance, which is an affiliate of the AFL-CIO, and they've been given a charter. They've been given a mandate to organize taxis throughout the country, and they're doing that. They've already done it, actually. They've already started. I think Philadelphia was the second affiliate, and then they have now Austin, Texas. They have other cities that they're working with, but they're also looking at the D.C. area, because D.C. has a massive potential. If only drivers can really see the way I see it, which is, you know, you have well over 15,000, and that's, you know, the most conservative of estimates, well over 15,000 cab drivers in this area alone. And the potential, you know, if you can harness that power, if drivers can say, you know, let's come together, let's do something about, you know, our industry, they can, you know, I think they can transform it. And for the better of drivers, they can make, you know, taxi driving a good, livable job. And where they can take pride, because I think most drivers are drivers, you know, because they like the sense of independence, right? They want to be out there, and they're providing a great service to these cities, but the cities and these companies that they're working with only see them as you know, workers to be exploited, and that needs to change. And I think the only way to do that, I believe, and I know a lot of cab drivers believe, is to organize, and that's what we're doing here in DC. And you know, the I hope, you know, you hear from us, and I know you will hear from us. Not I hope, and I think the National Taxi Workers Alliance are the best union to do it. They've done it in Philly, they've done it in throughout the country, and I think they can do it here in DC.
Let me ask you, Mateus, what role do you think the origin of drivers, where they come from, influences the way that cities and counties and the media see and treat drivers?
I mean, I think, you know, America is a land of immigrants. I think that's one thing we're very proud about in this country. And I think it wouldn't be where it is today for the millions, thousands of people who risked everything to come here. It's the land of opportunity. And I think throughout history, throughout the consequent years, groups of immigrants have come here. They've established a base, whether if it's Boston or if it's, you know, Pittsburgh, Chicago, even here in D.C. They've established themselves, and they've been able to successfully really integrate not only into the social spheres of those cities, but also the political spheres. I mean, I think when you look at the largely, I would say, East African, Ethiopian, Eritrean drivers here in this metro D.C. area, they're starting to do that. And I think for me, you know, myself being Ethiopian American, I see a lot of potential for that. And I think that's a huge part of the reason why I'm doing this, and I'm involved in this, is because I truly believe right now, as it stands, the politicians, the city doesn't see the largely Ethiopian, Eritrean, East African immigrants, or immigrants in general in this area. They don't think there's anything to fear from them. They don't think there's anything they should do, and that's largely because, as it stands, we're not organized. The communities here aren't organized to take advantage of their numbers and their potential. But I think 10, 15 years from now, and if we're able to organize, especially the cabbies, and cab drivers are essential to this equation. As I said, you know, it's largely Ethiopian, Eritrean drivers and taxi cabs, and I think if they can start there, then I think this whole area, can be very transformative, and can bring about the kind of changes, the kind of respect I think, you know, a lot of these immigrants, myself included, feel, you know, we deserve.
Your dad is a part-time driver?
That's right. my dad, so he's, I'm sure most cab drivers will know, he's what I would call a weekend warrior. And so, you know, he has his full-time job elsewhere. And then in the weekends, he has his own black independent car. Likes to drive throughout the city in D.C., and he's been doing it for several years, I think. Well over 8 years or so he's been driving, he wants to see a future where cab drivers are respected. These are, you know, they're providing a valuable service, and you know, I think they should be respected, and he feels that way, and he's extremely happy that I'm doing this, I'm working with this.
Thanks, Mateus.
Thank you, Pete. And I'd like to thank, you know, I think all the PG drivers, all the leaders. I'm learning so much, and I'm constantly being inspired. So I'd like to thank all drivers throughout this area.
Well, that was Mateus Chacol, a researcher for the AFL-CIO and National Taxi Workers Alliance. And Mateus, said that, you know, D.C. has a massive potential with well over 15,000, or the D.C. area has a massive potential with well over 15,000 drivers in this area, and they could make taxi cab driving a good, livable job. Tony Norman, can you respond to the extended interview I had a chance to do with Mateos?
Yeah, that's the key there. When you look at the drivers have to get organized. When you look at the potential of the drivers in Washington, D.C., the drivers in the northern Maryland and northern Virginia.
Southern Maryland. Maybe northern Maryland,
and,
too.
And northern and southern.
Baltimore.
Maryland. And as well as the drivers in northern Virginia and other parts of Virginia. They will form a very powerful force by organizing. And you have, because all of them are being discriminated in some way or another because they're immigrants or because of other issues. And that's something that they, not only could they influence the taxi industry, they can have a lot of influence on the elections that happen. And keep in mind, you have two senators out of Maryland, two senators out of Virginia. You have a representative in D.C., and you have two or three or four representatives in the northern or southern part of Maryland. That all they can influence these elections. There's a gubernatorial election coming up in Virginia, and taxicab drivers can have a great deal of leverage and influence on these elections that will help them as well as help their customers, because this issue at National Harbor, I think the customers will object to that if they knew what was going on. The customers want taxis there, and that they have to raise the consciousness. The customers and the general public is not aware of this, and I think they will be outraged at some of the things that are happening, not just at the National Harbor, but with taxi cab drivers in general.
It's a largely Ethiopian, Eritrean dominated industry, and many other Pakistani, Indian. It's a like a model UN getting the chance to meet taxi cab drivers. But one driver I was speaking with, he said, you know, he's from Prince George's County. He said, look, Cubans in Miami, they're able to, and they have, you know, some significant numbers. They have some United States senators who are Cuban. And outside of Ethiopia, this is the largest concentration of Ethiopians, I believe, outside of the country of Ethiopia. And when you combine that with some of the other immigrant, this large number of immigrants who are here, that could potentially be a massive political force, and I think would be very good for this country, because I think, you know, certainly there are certain interests that are well represented, but it would might be helpful to get a few, be they state senators and then maybe even U.S. senators, who have as their core constituency the people that make things go every day, and, you know, there's no one working harder than immigrants in this year. You know, all of us are immigrants except for Native Americans in the U.S. of A.
And it's not just a regional thing. If they're organized, particularly in the state of Virginia, Virginia is a swing state, even in presidential election. Obama needed Virginia. And the next upcoming presidential election a couple of years from now, or 3 years from now, is going to be key for Virginia, and a good turnout in Virginia. The immigrant community can have a great deal of influence, not just on the local and the region, but even on national politics, to get some of the things that they want and some of the issues that they want back in their own home countries, wherever the U.S. policy stands on their particular region. So that's all the more reasons why we have to underline they need to get organized, the taxi cab drivers in this region, and they need to do it like yesterday. So they really need to do that.
And it's interesting talking with drivers in different jurisdictions, because this is what I hear time and time and time and time again. And this is what I hope the Taxi Link can do, is bring forward the voices from Prince George's County, hopefully soon from Montgomery County, from D.C. You know, this show is sponsored by the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers. That's the group, independent owner-operators who make this show possible. And from Northern Virginia, folks standing up, and time and again you hear, we need to do this together, and we need an organization. So now's the time. We're going to take a quick music break, and when we come back, we'll take a close look at the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission's policy of suspending drivers before they're able to prove their innocence.
When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. And then it goes back, and then it goes back. We would roam out of the darkness. I came the farthest. I'm
for that fateful day. It's not far away, but for now we say,
when I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a wave that flash, and then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back. Oh,
so many wars, settling scores, bringing us promises, leaving us poor. I heard them say, love is the way, love is the answer. That's what they say, but look how they treat us.
Waving Flag by the Somali-Canadian poet and rapper Kanon. This is the Taxi Link, brought to you by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with the Taxi Link co-host, Tony Norman. And just a couple of announcements before we turn to the issue of the DC Taxi Cab Commission suspending drivers. We want to let folks know that at 8:30 p.m., so just shortly after this show concludes, a phone conference begins. The Small Business Association hosts a phone conference. It takes place in Amharic. And as we're seeing, a lot of D.C. drivers listening. I hope more and more D.C. drivers will tune in, those who speak Amharic. Also, it'd be good to get some drivers from the other jurisdictions to tune in as well. And I'll give the number out for that phone conference twice. And that number, which again, the phone conference begins at 8:30 this evening, and the number is 712-432-3100. And the code that you enter once you dial that number is 140465. Again, that number, 712-432-3100, and the code is 140465. I'd also just like to let drivers know that if we're going to get this information to drivers, it's going to require you, all of us, making that happen, because there's no huge budget here. So we get on the radio once a week, and then let drivers know to tune in 7 to 8 p.m. here on WST 1120 a.m. And also, by tomorrow afternoon, the show gets posted. So anyone can listen anytime to the past shows. So you can go to thefightback.org, do it on your smartphone at home. And in so doing, we can get more and more drivers aware of what's going on. So the audio is posted at thefightback.org, as well as a write-up. And I also wanted to mention that there's a hearing coming up of the DC Taxi Cab Commission, rather the DC Council's Committee on Transportation and the Environment, and that's coming up this Wednesday, June 5th at 11 a.m. in room 500 of the John A. Wilson Building at 1350 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest. The purpose of the hearing, according to the council website, is to follow up on the Taxi Commission's on this issue of passenger safety, and we'll get more into that at the very end of the show. But again, Wednesday, June 5th, I look forward to seeing drivers, DC drivers, at room 500 of the John A. Wilson Building for this issue of passenger safety. Not much discussion of driver safety, but what can you say? That's par for the course. But maybe it's an issue drivers can raise. And I look forward to playing the testimony of drivers here on the Taxi Link. We now turn to an issue we covered last week on the Taxi Link, and that's this issue of the DC Taxi Cab Commission suspending drivers before they even have a chance to prove their innocence. This week, the criminal charges against Sharanjit Singh and Ephraim Eshitaram were dropped, yet the two drivers' licenses continue to be suspended. Furthermore, the reputations have been tarnished by the DC Taxi Cab Commission, and the chairman denounced the drivers in a May 17th press release announcing their suspension, saying the behavior of these drivers is intolerable. Friday, in his office, I asked DC Taxi Chair Ron Linton if he apologized, and we played that audio earlier, and he said he did, because he should have said alleged as opposed to just stating as a fact that they had done that. But, Tony, this is an issue we've talked about for several weeks now here on the Taxi Link. But your response?
The disturbing thing about that, once again, it shows you the mentality of the chairman of the commission and the taxicab commission. He presumed that these drivers were guilty, and it reflected in his statements. The press release and his comments, he was outraged at their behavior without even gathering what the total facts were. Automatically, the drivers were responsible and did outrageous behavior. So it's a reflection of the mentality of how they treat the drivers here in Washington. And also is a disturbing trend of finding them guilty before there's even a fair trial, even having a hearing, suspending a license before you even have an opportunity to find out all of the facts and exactly what's going on there, because this is how a person makes a living. These are those drivers' livelihood.
Now, they say that the suspension, we're going to play the audio of both Chairman Linton and Neville Waters, who's the press person for the taxicab commission. They say it's not the criminal charges that provided the reason for the suspension, but a violation of Title 31, the code that governs the taxicab industry, and that was the reason for the suspensions. They said that the drivers need, and the driver should know this, that apparently the drivers need to report within 5 days an arrest. I guess an arrest that has something to do with the taxi driving. And there are a couple other – well, one is to be accused of something is a violation of the D.C. Code, which I can't for the life of me see how that squares with the fair process. But these seem to be more technical violations of the D.C. Code, and yet the two individuals that we're talking about, these two drivers, have been suspended since May 17th, and they cannot make a living. So I don't think the seriousness of what the Taxi Cab Commission is doing is really understood by the chairman, and we'll again play his statement on the issue in just a moment. But lastly, Tony, your thoughts before we turn to Chairman Linton.
The troubling thing is, regardless of what they're saying, these technical violations of that title, they suspended these drivers' license before there was a hearing or an opportunity to be heard. Even if it is the case that they didn't report their arrest, but still, they suspended these drivers without giving them an opportunity to address any charges or whether or not that's fair. Even that needs to be challenged, because just because they didn't report their arrest, are you going to suspend their license indefinitely? This is how these individuals make a living. So that's a very troubling constitutional issue in and of itself. But once again, that this commission has the authority to just immediately suspend a driver without a chance, not even being hearing from that driver is that side of the case, or without a valid hearing. That is the troubling thing about this. Even if the title, there has to be an adjudication that they violated this title. But they automatically make this assumption either by watching the news media or the radio, someone from the taxicab commission, and just indefinitely suspend a taxicab driver's license. This is taking away their property, their right to make a living without due process of law. This is a serious legal challenge.
And they do have to go before the Office of Administrative Hearings. In just a bit, we're going to be joined by Will Martin, who produces the Taxi Link, and he was at Sharanjot Singh's hearing before the Office of Administrative Hearings this week. That was after the criminal charges had been dropped, but the Taxi Cab Commission's position is that the driver, both him and Ephraim Eshetarim, should still be suspended because of these violations of the D.C. Code. We're going to get the Taxi Cab Commission's response. First, we're going to go to Chairman Linton, then we'll hear from Neville Waters. But yesterday, I spoke with Chairman Linton in his office about the commission's policy regarding these two drivers, Sharanjot Singh and Ephraim Eshetarim, and the policy more generally. Here's Chairman Ron Linton.
The policy is that when enforcement and our legal department determine that the alleged actions of a driver in regard to a passenger in his vehicle or in association with his use of the vehicle is considered an imminent danger, that the Office of Taxicabs will then issue a notice of suspension. And the driver was entitled to a hearing within 3 days on whether that suspension is appropriate. If the driver is arrested and arraigned before for a court action, the suspension remains until the court disposes of the case. In some instances, when the court dismisses, as in the cases you're raising, the enforcement may move on that same driver for violations of Title 31, which requires another immediate evidentiary hearing before OAH, the Office of Administrative Hearing.
That was Ron Linton, chairman of the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission. I also spoke with Neville Waters, public affairs specialist for the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission.
And the public that the drivers have been suspended.
We're going to go now to the clip with Neville Waters, public affairs specialist for the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission. I was also asking about the case of the two drivers we're speaking about, and that is Sharanjot Singh and Ephraim Eshetarim.
First of all, the criminal case and the civil case are mutually exclusive. the reasons that they were suspended were because of violations of Title 31, which are separate and distinct from the evidentiary hearing, I believe, where the charges were dropped. So those are two separate cases. In the case of the two drivers, the reason for the suspensions were specific violations of Title 31.
Can you go over those?
Sure. The first one was 816.7, which was that they failed to inform the commission in writing within 5 days of their arrest. Also, Title 31, 816.14B, was the use of offensive and profane language. And the other statute was Title 31, 817.1A and B, being accused of abuse and use of physical force against another person.
That last one is being accused of it?
Yes, sir.
And that's a violation of the, and that's a reason to be, have your license suspended, to be accused?
That is a violation of statute 817.1 A and B. But as I said, there were three specific violations that occurred.
Alleged violations, because that in order to, walk me through this, because I'm no expert here, but in order to conclusively say they're violations, wouldn't there have to be some adjudication of some sort?
Well, in the case of the first one, 816.7, they failed to notify the commission within 5 days in writing of an arrest. Whether or not you're convicted of the arrest or found innocent of that arrest, you are to notify the commission within 5 days in writing. That did not occur.
And is there any, because now these drivers have been suspended since May 17th. So they can't make a living. Is there a sense of how much time would fit the punishment? I guess the thing that they may be guilty of is not informing the commission that they were arrested, because, again, the underlying charges have been dismissed.
Well, again, I go back to the point that the criminal charges are separate and distinct from the civil charges. I am not...
This is not the only... These are probably not the only drivers in this situation. You're an attorney. You have any advice for drivers?
I would say that these are extremely troubling provisions, that the taxicab commission can strip them of their livelihood on just such minor accusations and minor technical charges, particularly the one about the arrest issue. Once again, they're saying because they didn't report the arrest, therefore they're entitled to have their license automatically suspended. Once again, this is something that you should have any clear, fair due process will require some sort of notice or warning. You have a progressive disciplinary issue to say that you have at least a certain amount of days, even after the 5 days, I think, with the arrest, you have been noticed, you have been warned, and if you do not, then we will have a hearing. Why should we not show us cause for why we shouldn't suspend your license because you haven't reported that arrest? That's what every other citizen is entitled to. But here, and I doubt very seriously if the code... even a title gives the commission the discretion to just immediately suspend their license just because they haven't reported it. There should be some progressive discipline on that first charge rather than automatically suspending their license. And I think that, and if that's the case, they need to go back and find out how many other taxicab drivers or so were arrested and did they treat them the same. Clearly, they can't just immediately suspend a driver's license just because you were arrested without knowing the circumstances, without knowing the mitigating factors. So this is a provision that need to be legally challenged, whether or not they could do that. Once again, there is a presumption of guilt in all of these technical violations that the Taxicab Commission, I submit, does not have a legal right to do.
That's the voice of Tony Norman, co-host of The Taxi Link, also joined by Will Martin, who produces The Taxi Link, and who was at Saranjot Singh's hearing before the Office of Administrative Hearings. Again, the criminal charges against Mr. Singh and Ephraim Eshetaram were dropped this week in D.C. Superior Court, but the Taxicab Commission continues, because of, they say, violations of Title 31, to maintain that both of their licenses should continue to be suspended. And it's not clear how much longer that the suspension should be indefinite or what. And I believe that Ephraim Eshetaram's hearing before Office Administrative Hearings is coming up. Any final thoughts you care to share about being at Mr. Singh's hearing, Will Martin?
Well, the one other thing that things that I forgot to mention was the outcome, which is that the judge didn't really – she said that she would be giving an opinion on the case in a couple of days, and she seemed very sensitive to the driver's need to get back to work. So I really hope that very soon that Mr. Singh will get a response from the court.
Thank you, Will Martin. We're going to now turn to another issue. Wednesday, the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission held a hearing on the establishment of a one-color scheme for all D.C. cabs. Among those testifying before the three commissioners present was Yellow Cab General Manager Roy Spooner.
Washington, D.C. is a historic, unique, and culturally diverse city. And those same qualities are represented in the city's taxicab industry. Historically, the D.C. taxicab system allowed every taxicab company to have their own unique color scheme. Some companies have served the residents and visitors of the city for more than 75 years. The rich cultural and ethnic diversity of the city is reflected in the operators, companies, customers, and communities. The coalition of taxicab company owners support modernization, but a one-color mandate is the single most destructive action against the privately owned taxicab industry. The one-color mandate is neither modernization nor innovation. The Taxicab Modernization Act creatively defined a taxicab from a passenger vehicle for hire to a public vehicle for hire. Changing the definition of a taxicab to mandate change does not negate the facts. Every D.C. taxicab is 100% privately owned and operated. The circulated buses and the planned streetcars are owned and operated by the city. The city's overreaching action infringes on the rights of the taxicab operators and customers to select and affiliate with a unique taxicab brand that closely matches their personal, business, and service needs.
That was Yellow Cab General Manager Roy Spooner testifying Wednesday at a hearing of the D.C. Taxicab Commission. In response to testimony from Diamond Cab's lobbyists who requested that Diamond's color scheme be grandfathered in, Chairman Linton said, "If the commission had the authority, I would glad to exempt all the taxi cabs that have their own color schemes."
If the commission had the authority, I would be glad to exempt not just Diamond, but all of the taxi cabs that have their own color schemes. Unfortunately, as I've urged in the past, this needs to be directed to the city council, which has left the commission with no other room other than what Mr. Spooner proposes, in that we lead an assault and attack on the council, and unfortunately, that's not a part of our responsibility.
That was Taxi Chair Ron Linton from Wednesday's commission hearing. Also Wednesday, Yellow Cab General Manager Roy Spooner questioned the commission's recent special meeting, which appeared to be held for the purpose of addressing the needs of one company, Uber, the largely unregulated phone application and sedan service based out of California.
Recently, Uber threw a tantrum over the approval of the final MTS regulations. The city responded immediately to meet with them and threatened to draft emergency legislation to appease the San Francisco company that is not invested in D.C. and uses the infrastructure of existing taxicab companies to unfairly compete with them. DCTC passed emergency rulemaking with amendments specifically in favor of the bully and their 10,000 non-resident petition signers at the expense of the local taxicab industry that pays D.C. taxes and creates local jobs.
That was Yellow Cab General Manager Roy Spooner from Wednesday's hearing of the D.C. Taxicab Commission. After the hearing, I asked Chairman Ron Linton about an issue that drivers have brought to my attention a number of times, and that's this issue of whose name can be on the title of a cab, particularly for those drivers who don't live in D.C. and who got their taxi license after 2006. Here's my Q&A on this issue with Linton, who told me, "You're raising a very difficult legal question that we're addressing, examining, and trying to understand." We're going to turn now to that clip of Ron Linton responding to my question. I asked Ron Linton about this issue that drivers have raised to me about them being able to who owns the license, who owns the title, who can have the title for a car, because what is drivers are saying is that they have to go through the company, and the company is the one that can have the title, especially for drivers who don't live in D.C. and who started driving after 2006. So now we're going to go to that clip.
You're raising a very difficult legal question that we're addressing, examining, and try to understand and see how we're going to resolve who is entitled to whose name is on the title. Well, that's not an easy one to answer on that one right now. We are in the process of studying that legally, because we know that there are some conflicts, we know there's some issues that have arisen and some problems. And I don't have a ready answer for you.
Okay, so excuse me. So I meant to say the title is the issue at stake here. And is there anything further you can help clarify for drivers after 2006 who became drivers in D.C. after 2006 who don't live in D.C. and who want the title of their car to be in their own name? They say that can't happen.
Yes, it can. All they have to do is go to DCRA if they already have the vehicle, these are drivers who already have their vehicles, get a business license.
So for a non-D.C. resident
who already owns his own vehicle, has a number for that vehicle from us, is his tag on that car, and he wants to operate as an independent, he goes down and gets a DCRA district business license.
And so for a driver, for example, approached me and said, I want to buy a new car, but I'm concerned.
That's a different issue. Are we talking about an equipment exchange, or are we talking about adding a vehicle to the fleet?
He has an equipment exchange. He has a vehicle.
Equipment exchange. And his equipment exchange, his current vehicle, he's affiliated with a company.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's saying, I don't want to affiliate anymore. I'm going to go independent.
No, he might want to stay with the company. He just wants the title in his own name.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's a legal issue that we are studying as to what our role is, what we can do about it, mm-hmm. to resolve the issue of titling and affiliation and independence. It's complicated. It's legally complicated. And we understand it, and we're trying to figure out how we can resolve it so that we don't have a situation where a company is in a position to take a car from a driver because they have the title in their name.
That was Taxi Chair Ron Linton. We spoke after Wednesday's meeting of the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission. Tony Orman, any response to this issue of title, as well as Roy Spooner's comments regarding Uber and the influence there? We covered that issue about this special meeting, which appears to have been held, and emails were obtained from the city administrator's office to Uber, which said, look, we're going to be holding a hearing. Chairman Linton has agreed to hold a hearing on your concerns. This is a special meeting that appears to have been held regarding one company, Uber's concerns. But your response?
Well, it shows you the, particularly on the issue of Uber, their disproportional influence they have over the Taxi Cab Commission and the council, and how they get special preferential treatment as opposed to really basically operating a cab service. And they're in this limbo land where they can just do what they want, and the council nor the commission has done anything about it. And that's another thing that needs to be exposed, the disproportional treatment of Uber as well as opposed to the regular taxi cab drivers.
I want to finish up with this issue of the D.C. Council's Committee on Transportation and the Environment holding this hearing Wednesday, June 5th at 11 a.m. in room 500 of the John A. Wilson Building at 1350 Pennsylvania Avenue. But the purpose of the hearing, according to the council website, is to follow up on the Taxi Commission's annual oversight hearing, at which the Chairman Linton stated that, and I'm quoting now from the council website, the commission stated that it receives approximately 150 complaints per month, 80% of which are from women who feel threatened, harassed, or unsafe in taxi cabs. The purpose of this hearing is to understand the process by which the commission evaluates, investigates, and resolves these complaints. The hearing will also consider the implementation of the Taxi Cab Service Improvement Act. Among other things, this law requires taxis to accept credit cards, maintain a digital manifest, install passenger and driver security devices, install passenger information display with GPS, goes on a bit. But it seems like the heart of it is passenger safety. Everyone, of course, is concerned with driver safety, with passenger safety. But the issue also of driver safety, it did not even come up in this prep. I couldn't see it in the description of the hearing. So anyway, I wanted to get your thoughts. I hope drivers go Wednesday. I hope drivers testify. And again, I hope we can air that testimony, because Otherwise, if it's just like the media, like Channel 9, Russ Potosik, who's just doing all he can to get an Emmy, and they keep targeting drivers and making them seem like these just terrible people. And I think it's very important that drivers speak out. We had Chairman Stanley, not Chairman, but Taxi Cab Commissioner and longtime driver Stanley Tapscott on the show. I look forward to having him again. I said he was 87 years old. He said he's 87 years young. And he pointed out that when it's gotten so bad that when drivers are robbed, they might not even call the police because then they're going to be robbed of their time after being robbed of their money. And this is happening time and time and time again. Yet, Councilmember Che, Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che, Chair of the Committee on Transportation and the Environment, I don't think this is it goes back to what Mateos was pointing out. Somehow, the voices of drivers and being robbed, that doesn't count. And I'm not saying we are all concerned about passenger safety, but driver safety also should be important to someone somewhere.
Yes, it's part of the disturbing trend. Right? I don't know where they got this statistic. I guess Linton made that statistic, and now the whole council and the chairman of the council is going to hold a hearing on an allegation that that hasn't been supported or proven. Once again, it's accepting taxicab drivers as guilty until you are proven innocent. About 150 complaints, and 80% of those complaints are women who are afraid of taxicab drivers and unsafe of the taxicab drivers. Somebody threw that out, and now they grab it, and they're accepting it as a fact and calling a public hearing on it. This is guilt in advance of treating taxicab drivers like second-class citizens and criminals, basically. And any accusation that's made, it's like the two drivers that were suspended. Any accusation, you're automatically guilty until you prove you're innocent. You'll be suspended until you prove you're innocent. Now you're a threat to women until you prove, taxicab drivers, that you are innocent. We're going to have a hearing for you all to hear about this and prove this. This is an entire mentality of how the council and the commission are treating taxicab drivers. All the more reason there needs to be a conscious and an education of the city leaders, the regional leaders, the taxicab leaders, and the raise the consciousness of the public. That's why taxicab drivers, once again, need to be organized in this region and organized in each particular jurisdiction.
I hadn't thought of it before, but this just reminded me that we dealt with this issue about a year and a half ago. Chairman Linton went to the media and said that there was this wave of driver attacks against women. So I asked for the documentation time and time again. I went to MPD with the case numbers. There was nothing to substantiate what he was saying. And there was this wave of attacks. Having asked repeatedly for the information, gone to the MPD, you could not get information to substantiate what he was saying. And he was saying it to the media. And unfortunately, I think it was News Channel – well, I think it was Channel 8, but they ran with it, or Channel 7, the same company. They ran with it, and – there was nothing I could not find anything to support it. So this is not, as I'm recalling now, the first time that we've seen this, that painting drivers as abusing women. Again, we're all concerned about passenger safety, but also about the accuracy of statements and not just tarnishing a group of people. You really want safety, but also it makes drivers unsafe when you unfairly target them, and then they're less than you don't allow their humanity to come through in media reports or an official's going after them, and then they sit and pick up members of the public just inches behind their head. Members of the media need to be much more aware, and public officials need to be much more aware of just how much impact you have. People are getting drunk and getting in cabs. These things matter, and people, I think, need to be much more careful about the accusations and the words that they use when describing taxicab drivers.
Yes, and there should be a balanced approach. We shouldn't just presume that the taxicab drivers are guilty of any charges that are made against them. Once again, it's a discrimination against immigrants. It's a discrimination. There is a class issue that's going on here also. When you look at the Uber issue, class against immigrants and against what they perceive the culture of taxicab drivers are. And this is something that the public needs to be educated on and the leaders need to be educated on, because there is clearly an unbalanced approach when analyzing the issue between customers' safety and passengers as drivers' safety also.
This has been another edition of the Taxi League. We went a little beyond 8 p.m. as the signal allows. I want to thank Stefan Ilie for engineering today's show. I thank Will Martin for producing and coming on. Again, this will all be posted at thefightback.org, so let drivers know they can listen on their smartphone at home. Go to
thefightback.org. In just a few minutes, the Amharic phone conference put on by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers will begin. So tune in to that, and I will catch you next week here on WST, 11:20 a.m. I'm Pete Tucker with Tony Norman. Till next week, peace.
All right.